Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who are you? What the fuck are you doing?
This is my celebratory voice.
Why are you celebrating?
Because today is our 100th episode.
Yeah. 100? Gross. Yep. Icky.
I've made you sit through 100 different Doctor Who things.
And I couldn't tell you anything of value.
You don't even know the Doctor's name.
Well, nope.
Today you might learn it, because today we're going to watch something I picked especially for you on this 100th episode.
Oh, why is that?
I think maybe this might be the exact midpoint of our two interests.
Go on.
This is Doctor Who and the Daleks.
Yeah, so I do know the Doctor's name. That's his name.
His name is Doctor Who.
Is Doctor Who.
This is not an episode. This is a... it wasn't even a made for TV movie. This is a honest to God theatrical release movie they had made for the UK called, in 1965, called Doctor Who and the Daleks, an adaptation of the first Doctor story, The Daleks, featuring Peter Cushing, who you would know from Star Wars as Grand Moff Tarkin, in the role of Doctor who flies around in his the invention he made in his backyard called TARDIS. With his two granddaughters, Barbara and Susan, and Barbara's boyfriend, Ian. Now, obviously, that is not the story that you know from
no.
involving a couple of teachers and their student, along with the student's grandfather. But that is the story they chose to tell here. They chose to change some stuff around.
Is it all right if I go over and fly in
TARDIS?
In TARDIS?
Yeah, it's not
Barbara's going.
It's not the TARDIS.
Susan will be there. Could you imagine being that boy's mom?
Yeah.
The boyfriend. Boyfriend of daughter.
Boyfriend of granddaughter.
So they have changed. Granddaughter.
Yeah, instead of it being Barbara and Susan are now both the doctor's granddaughters, and Ian is Barbara's boyfriend. You know, we've already seen this story effectively, so despite it being our 100th episode, we won't have any true Cassie Profassies. That will be my gift to you, is that you will not have to be.
Oh, I'm so... I didn't know we were exchanging gifts, Zach.
I will... I am just curious. I will let you know that this movie was made for about £450,000.
Wow, that's a lot of weight.
Which in today's money would be around £5 million, give or take.
Okay, so what is that in U.S. currency?
Let me double check real quick, because the exchange rate has changed. So that's about a little under $7 million. And knowing that they're going to have to tell the whole story of the Daleks featuring the...
I'm so sorry. It's just now occurring to me what it is we are about to watch.
We are about to watch an adaptation of the Daleks.
This is meant for people that have not had their boyfriends or partners sit them down to watch a show they've seen forever. This is for the casual viewing audience.
Yes, this was.
This is for date night.
This was for date night. This was for
More
specifically, I think this, if I was going to say, I think this is really for children who were really into the Daleks, but because they weren't going to re-air those episodes, they made a movie about it. So I think this is more accurately for like the kids that were into Doctor Who and their parents.
Family
yeah,
outing.
It's a family picture.
Still. Oh, no.
Specifically, they made 8 Dalek props just for this movie. So that's where part of the budget went. And obviously, they had to build a TARDIS for this movie.
They couldn't use the...
They did. They probably could have, but they didn't. What do you think the inside of a TARDIS looks like for a movie with a budget of just under $7 million?
Oh, man. I feel like we're going to... We're going to take it to the way, way back, and it's just going to be like a white box.
Yeah, because you got to remember for a second, this is 1965. That's part of why I picked
it. Is this in color or is this black and white?
This is indeed in color.
Okay, that does change things slightly.
Yeah, this is in color. This is the 1960s, so you're thinking like...
I'm thinking it's going to be a lot of like very bold, like black, white, red, red, blue, yellow. Like we're keeping it very basic. Keeping it very IKEA.
Yeah. So this is like...
like retro futuristic.
Yeah, I guess you could say that for sure. Because this is the 60s. So you're thinking like you're about to walk into one of the things that was feeling like Tomorrowland.
Yep. If I had to make an even more specific guess. Do you remember the House of the House of Tomorrow? It was in Tomorrowland. I think it was before... our time, I believe that it was out of commission by like 1993.
Okay, then I don't.
But if
I'm not aware of that, then
I have a book with it in it. I can go grab it if you want. But it effectively was a walkthrough attraction that was here is what houses will look like in the future, and everything is plastic and plastic and chrome. Very that one episode of SpongeBob.
So you're thinking very like. Refined and polished, like almost too, almost like.
But I'm also having to remember too, if he's building it in his backyard, I think it might be something right in the middle of like it is like retro futurism, mm-hmm. but it is also like these are the things that we happen to have on hand, mm-hmm. so chairs won't match it. If I had to guess, since I did eliminate the part when I was starting this thought of this is being built in a backyard. yeah, everything is going to be mismatched and hodgepodged.
Okay.
Yard sale, future chic.
Okay, gotcha. Yard sale, future chic. All right, cool. Now, again, not a Cassie Verfassi, just a fun little question here. So they don't have laser effects coming out of the Dalek's little whisk arm either.
Mm-hmm.
They had wanted it to be one thing, but then they realized it was going to be a problem with health and safety. Can you guess what they wanted to put on the Dalek arm?
Some kind of fluid, water, liquid.
Go the other direction.
Rocks.
Different direction again, sorry.
Goo.
They wanted to strap a flamethrower on the Daleks. you can even see it here in the poster that they...
exterminate!
Burninate! Dalek Trogdor, the Burninator.
Jesus Christ.
And then Dalek comes in the night.
Did anybody want s'mores?
Doctor Who, the flamethrower.
That one is my favorite.
Yeah, that's it's a very silly idea. So just to give you an idea of like where their heads are at when they were making this movie.
Oh, man.
I think and hope you're really going to like this. When I say it's the midpoint of our aesthetics, I mean, it is Doctor Who, and it was made specifically to represent the Daleks, your favorite thing in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And it's also
I do have to say, like, so I'm listening to a podcast right now that is going through what they are just dubbing as the Mount Rushmore of evil. And they're starting with Heinrich Himmler. And I realize, oh man, Daleks are just Nazis. I still, as a little icon, mm-hmm. and also Daleks are just kind of stupid. But turns out, so were Nazis in the early days.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, people who are being a fascist requires you to value loyalty over anything else.
Yeah,
including intelligence and skill and talent.
And empathy and
yeah, and so you end up with a lot of freaks. You get a lot of people who are like really dedicated to specific things.
A lot of freaky little guys.
Yeah, and that's why the Daleks, I think, they think they're superior, while they also would have no depth perception.
Yeah.
But yes, this is Doctor Who and the Daleks. I actually don't know if this is streaming anywhere, so I don't know if this is even a good subject for our 100th episode. But boy, I was just so happy to show it to you. Just looking at the title credits of it, you'll see in a minute, just really made me go, this is the right choice. This is the choice for Cassie. So we will be back in about 80 minutes.
I do like the idea of you throwing me a bone and saying, let's
do one for Cassie.
Let's do one for Cassie.
Our 100th episode, one for Cassie.
Well, a little treat for me.
We'll be back in about 80 minutes after we watch the 1965 movie Doctor Who and the Daleks. In honor of our 100th episode, Cassie and I have narrowed down our 10 favorite ads that we have done over these last 100 podcasts. And here they are, played at the exact same time and really fast. Ah, wasn't that stressful? Back to the episode. And we are back from Doctor Who and the Daleks.
Yes.
So what'd you think, Cassie?
Oh my God, I loved it.
I had a feeling you would.
How long was that bit? Like 2 hours, 3 hours?
Oh, the story? It was seven 25-minute episodes. That would be something like 3 hours, yeah.
Because we want... And this, it just was exactly, it was only the hits. It was only the highlights.
They even did us a favor and cut down all the people jumping across that chasm.
Oh my God.
From 8 people down to 4.
Yep.
Yeah, I think this is fun. It's a fun little thing. I'm glad they don't do more of it. I'm glad Doctor Who got to exist as its own thing.
Oh yeah.
They did do a sequel that we will definitely have to watch at some point. Dalek Invasion Earth 2150 AD.
No!
Which is also a retelling of another First Doctor story. So we'll have to do that at some point, too. Because I think that one is, if memory serves, even sillier and an even looser adaptation.
Oh, hell yes, baby.
Yeah, it's a fun time, but I really like this. Like, there's a part of it where it's like, it's a really nice time capsule. There's some charm to it because it's clearly not made with a huge budget. Especially by today's standards.
Yes, but also I know what they all say. Dalek has no concept of elegance. I beg to fucking differ. This was the cuntiest set I've ever seen. Lava lamps.
Yeah.
Lava lamps and pink shower curtains with disco lights behind them. Come on, baby.
Art deco everywhere.
Yeah, Mylar stuck to the wall. I loved it.
And the Daleks themselves are also very well. I mean, they play them basically exactly like they do in the show. I like you would worry that their voices were going to be different.
I was, for a hot second, I was like, I swear to God, one of these is going to start talking and he's going to go... exterminate.
Hello, I am a Dalek. I am from Irvine, California.
Beep boop, beep boop. I am Dalek sound.
Exterminate.
And then the second they go, wah.
It is a shame that I don't really feel like at any point they yell exterminate in this movie.
No.
It's such an iconic thing for Daleks and they don't do it.
No. They do mention
totally eradicated or something like that.
Yeah, and you
totally destroyed.
Yeah, you and I went, there's a better word for that.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting that, especially this early on, they weren't quite, like, they definitely grow into being very Nazi characters. In this one, they're just kind of generally evil.
It's the fact that these ones, you could absolutely win in a fight.
Yeah, as they...
You could just kind of push these ones around.
You could lasso them up, hog tie them.
Yeehaw! You could call them by their names and they'll go, yes?
Why do not the doors close?
Dalek!
Yes!
Goo in their eye.
Help me. Help me.
I really
cannot see. I cannot see.
I do think my favorite moment of the whole movie is just the Thals lassoing a Dalek and yanking him down into an elevator shaft.
Yeah, I just really like when Dalek starts freaking out.
The wigglier, the better.
Help me. Unstable. Help me.
Let's talk a little bit about how this. Well, I guess the first thing we should talk about is, I guess, your new favorite Doctor Who intro.
This one barely counts.
Yeah, it's not even the same tune.
It barely can. There is one sciencey noise.
But it's the like rainbowy effects and the glittery music.
Yeah, it's Mylar again. Very, very close up. So it's just kind of blurred out.
It's got it's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.
Yeah, it absolutely does. It has my favorite, like, I'm sure that there is a name for this particular font, but they seem to. It's very common in movies from 60s and 70s mm-hmm. to indicate that this is a family-friendly film. And I can't describe it any other way because it looks very similar to the font that they use in, like, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, like Dr. Doolittle.
Pink Panther.
Like, it is a friendly font.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's so the second that popped up, I went, okay, we're in for a good time.
Yeah, and it's like a little jagged, edgy, so it's trying to be like if the DreamWorks poster was a font.
It's your friend who's a little bit silly, but very professional. Speaking of a little bit silly and very professional, they came out with jokes. Oh, they started with jokes right away.
Yeah, everything to do with Ian seemed to just be that he's just a goofy boy.
Like when you start, you see little Susan reading a book on physics.
Mm-hmm.
You see Barbara reading a book on science.
Yeah, the book is called The Science of Science.
Yeah, The Science of Science. And then you see Doctor Who reading the funnies in the newspaper.
Reading a little comic book.
They start with jokes and then somewhere they lose jokes, but then jokes does come back into the room by the end of the film.
Yeah. When Ian shows up, he's like,
yeah, Ian becomes the butt of said joke.
Yeah. Turn him into a bit of a fop, which is quite a departure from the Ian in the show where there's not really a goof amongst the four.
No,
I guess maybe the doctor's a little bit of a scamp.
Like, the doctor is a little bit of a scamp, a little bit of, like, a wily professor type.
Yeah.
But he's not cracking jokes. He's not physical comedian.
Yeah. This one is, like, leaning against the door, and the door opens while he's leaning against it, so he slams full force into a grandfather clock.
Yeah.
And then, like, stumbles in the door and sits on his chocolates.
Soft centers. Callback.
They did have a callback. You were very excited when you saw that they also had a little stone dog.
Stone
lizard doggo.
So I was like, damn, if they cut anything out, it's going to be that.
But they didn't.
Oh, and they made him somehow worse.
They made him as dead as a stone and then made him as dead as some pebbles. Yes. As Ian collapses into that dog, too. Another soft center.
What a joke. What a good bit.
The English people are clever sometimes.
Speaking of English people being clever, great segue. I also love me a very clever, very know-it-all little girl.
Yeah, Susan is very...
Susan feels like the doctor's toady, and honestly, I want more of it.
Well, it's also interesting because, you know, in the show... While she's portrayed as a student, she's still like in her late teens. This is a child.
She is literally like 10.
Yeah, she's as tall as his hip.
Yeah.
And he's a hunched over old man, so that's not a very high hip.
Like, the only criticism I'll really say is that I wish Barbara and Susan had more like sister interaction.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it doesn't seem like Barbara and Ian really have much of a boyfriend-girlfriend interaction either.
I mean, Barbara doesn't really have much of a personality, period.
Yeah, which is a shame because I feel like in the show, Barbara's a smart person. I mean, we goofed on it being like, oh, we track dirt and we can make mud. But there was at least like she did a thing. Here it's just, oh, they gave us some slop for food. Yeah. I'm going to put the slop in my hand.
Yeah, the Daleks gave us the concept of food in an autism tray. So I'm going to grab the one that looks the most like shit and hold it.
They shoveled out some refried beans for us and I'm going to slap this.
I'm going to hold it. And then the camera's going to get a really close shot of it.
They brought us cat food.
It absolutely looked like cat food. It's like cat food. And there's this new stuff on the scene, but it's like it's almost like a kinetic sand, except it's like bigger and chunkier,
mm-hmm.
but it kind of like just moves on its own, like accord, static electricity sort of, I don't know, but that's what the Daleks were trying to feed the humans. And you have to make this last till tomorrow.
Don't eat it all at once. You will ruin your dinner.
Yeah, after they come in with their little, like, serving tray of, like, a gallon of water.
Would you care for some tea?
God. Dalek is just so silly. You know what I said before about how they're just space Nazis? These ones are silly.
Yeah, can you imagine all of the shots they have with, like, so they had replaced... They had wanted to do flamethrowers, and we got one that had like a little torch on it, but they had wanted them to have flamethrowers, and instead they went with CO2 canisters. So basically they went the opposite of fire. They went with fire extinguishers. Extinguish. Can you imagine all of these dramatic scenes they wanted to have with the Daleks having flamethrowers?
Yes.
That moment where they grab the two Daleks, like, coming after them and point them at each other, and then there's just flames.
Yeah, that would have been awesome, dude.
I agree with
that. I want to see some melting Daleks!
But also, considering this movie was meant for 10-year-olds, I think that would be terrifying for someone that young.
Also, like, from a safety standpoint, yeah, that's fucking dangerous.
Yeah, because there's someone in the Daleks. I think those are still being... I don't think those are remote piloted yet. Oh, man.
Well, they kind of have to. I'm going to let my like soft brain show a little bit. The voice mods are in the suits or they are not in the suits.
I'll be honest. I don't actually know how they used. I mean, I guess they were done this way back then. They probably were in the suits. I know now they're done just like he's just offset.
Each Dalek has his own voice and his own performer, I thought. Like R2-D2.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yes. I know that now in the modern show, the voice is done via is done separately.
Well, yeah.
It's done by Nicholas Briggs. I think he's just offset and they have synced basically as he's speaking into the microphone, they have synced the lights to his sound waves.
Okay.
So the voice is all active, but in the classic series, I think you're right. I do think that it's tied to the actor inside the Dalek suit.
Do you think they have like Dalek school?
Extermination 101.
No, like for the actors, dummy, not for Daleks.
I mean, I don't know that they
Dalek class.
I mean, I assume they
how to be Dalek.
Yeah, I imagine there has to be some kind of like training to pilot them. Because I know that now I believe they also sort of move around like RC cars. Like I believe they are also piloted via remote.
They're
now.
Like giant puppets.
Yeah.
Now.
But I think back then they were driven inside. I think that's why they're that big.
Well, yeah, that is. They are the exact shape of somebody sitting on a bike seat and. With enough room for their knees to move around. Is this, if I had to guess, based off of me not planning a Dollar Tree Dalek, how I'm going about building the seat, but
a Dalek tree?
Yeah. CO2 canister. I can get my hands on some of those.
Yeah, they also, in addition to the plunger, some of them also had little pinchy hands.
Yeah, I really wanted it to be one of the, like, sharks.
They're 2/3 of the way to playing rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, my God.
All they got to do is just have one with, like, a sword.
Yeah.
Which you think they would want if they're Nazis, so they could do the salute.
Sorry, I was just imagining, what if Dalek had a hobby and they exchanged one of their little hands out for a pair of scissors?
They're the little crinkle cut.
Rolling pin.
So I enjoy scrapbooking.
No, but they could have the one with the little egg beater and then the other is a rolling pin. Dalek likes pie. It goes well with tea.
I mean, we do know one Dalek that likes to make souffles. Eggs.
Eggs, 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 eggs.
Eggs, stir and bake.
We're getting a little silly here today in the studio, aka. Hey,
it's our 100th episode. We deserve a little treat, Cassie.
Yeah, we deserve a little treat.
And our treat is that we get to be a little silly. We get to have a good time. We get to be silly little people.
We haven't talked about the Thals at all. So I know in the first one we criticized, these are all just
white blonde people.
White blonde. These ones looked sick. And yeah. I appreciated it. This is not a criticism on, like, they looked worse. They looked worse.
Yeah, they look ashen, which I think is a good way of, like, taking it and to where you're like, you still want them to look humanoid. But if this planet has been irradiated, I think an interesting way to do that is to make them look like they are covered in ash from bombs.
Well, that now. So I don't know where their powder blue eyeshadow came from. Because everybody had it. So I was sitting there the entire time going, was that part of the mutation? Dalek turned into a horrible little, like, dragon monster hand. But then the Thals got powder blue eyeshadow a la Britney Spears.
Got powder blue eyeshadow and pillowy lips.
Yeah.
And they all got bangs.
Everybody had bangs. Everybody had, like, a nice, interesting shade of blonde hair.
Mm-hmm. And they all sort of look vaguely like
brother and sister.
It looks like a David Bowie, like a David Bowie flash party. Like,
everybody's related. Yeah.
Yeah, but everyone's related. The Ziggy Stardust family reunion.
Yeah.
I do like that some of the because it's the movie instead of the show, they do have some production values put in place. Like when they're trying to, like, climb to get into the Dalek city, you see, like, instead the mountain opens to, like, get them to shoo off the mountain and the Daleks come out to, like, lord over them.
Well, they had a couple, like, very lovely, like, flat paintings.
Yeah.
The little creek deep enough to drown in. I liked that too.
But I like that you could really get a sense of priorities between the show and the movie, because the movie put a lot of investment in the city. A lot of it's like we spend a lot of time in that, like, Dalek control room. And so there's, you know, these spinning monitors and there's
everything
different
is
screens.
Pink. Everything was pink.
But then in the show, they know they're going to keep coming back to the TARDIS a lot. So they put a lot of money into the TARDIS.
Oh.
In the movie, they go to the TARDIS like 3 times and they spend maybe 5 minutes in it. Sorry, not the TARDIS. They go to TARDIS.
Hey, Zach, what was your favorite wire in the TARDIS? Mine was the one that attached to the plywood board with those little, with the fluid sticks, but the ones that are so clearly the types where you, like, flip them over and all of the stuff falls from one end to the other. That was my favorite. What was yours?
I like the TV screen that looks like it was just a light shining through a blender.
Uh-huh. Yes. Also very good. I like the one rocking chair in there, too.
Like, there was just, like, a piston. Like, that's how it controls the TARDIS. It's just, like, a big lever that, like, drive, it almost looked like it was mining for oil.
Pull the lever, Ian. Yeah, I miss TARDIS sound.
Yeah, I think the TARDIS sound is so, like, that, like, wheezing, groaning noise is so iconic to the show. I definitely miss that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff about it that just, like, it's interesting that it very clearly was made for the Daleks. It was not made for Doctor Who. Yes. Down to the fact that a lot of the details surrounding the Doctor is really inaccurate, but all the stuff with the Daleks, they were like, we have to be exact. Like, the only thing about the Daleks is they would be bigger and
their minds.
Yeah, they have to sound the same. They have to act the same.
They knew that if they didn't make it accurate, Redditors far off into the future would have some mean things to say.
They have to be different colors, so they're like interesting to look at, even though the show is in black and white. So this has to be like super colorful and vibrant. They have to feel like threatening, and not all of them have plunger hands. Give them some of them like little grabby hands so they can grab the girl.
I do like that they all have, so they do have like the different hands, but they all have little gold bras on. I think that's cute.
This lifts and separates,
and it makes me look fancy.
I'm going as Xena, warrior princess.
I'm going as Iggy Azalea.
Mine is shaped like cones. I am Madonna.
My God, wait. Hey, Travis. Can we please get Madonna Dalek?
Madalek.
Madalek, thank
Madalek.
You.
Madalek.
Dalek. Thank you.
God, this was so silly.
See, because like so there were a lot of things that I did really, really like.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want this to turn into like I'm going to start bashing on people. I don't know how I feel about this portrayal of the Doctor.
Because he's played.
Because I like Susan. I love this Susan. I love.
Mm-hmm.
I like Susan being a little girl that is like attached at the hip to her grandfather, somebody who she clearly loves and admires and looks up to and is reading books so that way she can be on the same intellectual level as him.
Yeah.
And he's respecting her as such and never once treats her as a dumb little girl, but instead you're a little girl, I have to protect you.
Mm-hmm. In fact, he seems to treat Ian more as the dumb one, which is sort of true.
I mean,
because he's the one who's not in the science family.
Yeah, he's literally a klutz.
But there's also this part of it where the Doctor, or well, Doctor Who in this movie is portrayed as honestly kind of a bit of a doof.
He's a bumbling professor. Like, that's the impression. Because, like,
well, what's weird is that
my first thought was that, because you haven't seen Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, right?
Not in a long time.
All right. Because there was a part of me that was like, I feel like this is almost a Caractacus Potts sort of. That came out after this, so there would be no correlation, but just having that person who is very like passionate about his family but also like doing his best to be an inventor and to find the balance between his happiness and the happiness of his family, and there is a quality about that I do find truly admirable, and it is really wonderful and delightful to see, especially in movies that were made during a time where it was very common to see sitcoms of traditional family roles. In this one, it's grandfather, his grandchildren, and her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's non-traditional and it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
But also the only person who had clearly defined and interesting characteristics were Susan.
I mean, Ian also has the defined traits of being kind of a doof.
Yeah,
like in a lovable doof kind of way. Like he was very much like a guy.
And he is willing to say yes. And
yeah. Know. And he's someone who like understands that he will do something silly, but he brushes it off. Like there's admirable qualities about him. But I think one thing that they do kind of weird is that with the exception of TARDIS being something the Doctor Who built in the backyard.
Where do you think he got all that wire?
The wire store.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's the 1960s. Is Circuit City open yet?
Mm-mm.
Circuit City open and closed yet?
He went into the future.
He solved the time thing first so he could get all the wire he needed for his
space
machine.
Yeah, he went to Fry's Electronics because he saw the UFO and went, that's my place.
Best Buy.
Sorry. I just wanted to mention Fry's.
R.I.P.
Yeah. Get well soon. XOXO.
But the thing is that they make Doctor Who so otherwise like absent-minded and goofy. You're like, how did he build this? I feel like he would have lost half the pieces opening the box.
Yes, but also you saw his wire management.
Hey, we're not going to insult men's cable management here. That's a personal attack.
but you say he's kind of a goof, absent-minded. A goof, absent-minded absolutely would not color code in that same way. There was shit. I'm gonna be popping off on this TARDIS for a hot second. Mm-hmm. Because there were things where it's like, yeah, this feels believable. There are also full-on pieces of plywood that are just there. They weren't painted.
It feels
they didn't
like
have anything but zip ties on them to keep the shit that they were supposed to be. That was supposed to be plugged into the mainframe, but just kind of sat on top of it.
It feels like they had spent like so much money on the Dalek City, and then someone went, oh, fuck, we didn't do anything with the TARDIS. All I've got is a picture of a police box on a piece of paper. What am I going to do?
What does it look like on the inside? It's bigger. That doesn't help. This TARDIS, though, did very believably feel like it's just the one room. It's not. There's no more. There's nothing
else. It's so
else.
Much bigger in there. Yeah, it's like instead of a 3x3, it's like a 10x10 room.
Yeah, basically.
Like I took this small police box and turned it into a garage.
Yes, that's all it was.
I've turned it. After I finish with all of the hot wire, after I get the cable management in here, I'm going to turn it into a home gym.
Meanwhile, somebody went, now, realistically speaking, how many lava lamps do you think Dalek would have? I'm thinking at least one. And then whatever PA went out and had already gotten all three and went, oh, I couldn't decide which I like better. We'll just put them all out. Are we going to make them look like anything else? No, we're just going to put them on a table. We're just going to have straight up lava lamps.
God, and their little cameras that are like looking around look kind of look weirdly like.
Like in that one scene from a Phantom of the Opera with the hand chandeliers. Yeah,
because there's so many right in a row, but they're all shaped a little phallic. Like they all have like a really big bulge at the end. And they're like, ugh, get your penis cameras away from me.
There were too many. Even in this like cover art, there's so many. There's like six. Less than 20 feet apart from each other.
But I think for me, the real like cornerstone of the movie is right at the very end when they all get into the Dalek control room and just chaos.
It's like it's not chaos. It's just chaos from Ian and nobody else.
Just like that 3 minutes of just like shoving Daleks around.
I thought you meant at the very end when they were in TARDIS.
No. I mean, the climax of the movie where they've had a Dalek like actively counting down from 100. It felt like a joke. Like anytime they cut back, it was like 45, 44. 27, 26.
I appreciate the commitment to that bit.
Yes. I think it's also because just it's funny enough having someone do a really long countdown that they get through so much of. It's even funnier to do that in the Dalek's voice. 100, 99, 98. 100 I'll shoot on the wall. 100 I'll shoot. Exterminate one. Then I go down. 99 I'll shoot on the wall.
It's a good joke.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That was a good bit, Zach.
I appreciate the sign of a good joke is saying it's a good joke.
It's a good joke.
But yeah, there's the 3 minutes of shoving Daleks into one another. The Daleks like fire, like being pointed at one another. So the CO2 gas they fire makes them explode.
The one that gets stuck in the hallway and the door
just
can't
keeps
close.
Closing on him. And then at the end,
are
Doctor Who being
me?
Like, Ian, you have to stop the countdown. And Ian's great idea is, hey, you guys.
And just they each turn around and go, they don't say anything, but they effectively go, what?
Let's all shoot at him at once. And they fire their little gas cans. And they blow up their own console because Ian had the great idea of ducking. God, you remember how when you first saw a Dalek in Eccleston series that he like that they like melt bullets before they touch him?
Yeah, they melt bullets.
They fire
can
a laser that turns
time.
You inside out.
Yeah, they like electrify your skeleton. And these ones can be befuddled with a rope and a sharp push in the opposite direction. Like, these Daleks believably thwarted by stairs.
Mm-hmm. In fact, they try to get a Dalek up, like, a small incline onto an elevator, and they just can't.
Up onto a ledge.
Man, good time.
Like, you can tell that we enjoyed this one because we don't have a lot to say about it.
Well, it's also that we've already seen this story, so there's only so much we could say that's... Because we're really going to talk about the differences between this and the original.
This is better, yeah.
I think it's definitely tighter.
It's tighter. This is something, too, that I could, like, reasonably see myself returning back to.
Yeah.
There's something about Doctor Who movies that I prefer. I can't... I won't sit here and
I do think that Doctor Who as a show is a better experience the more time it gets to breathe.
I liked this cool hour 25 minutes to the 3 hours it took us to get through before.
Yeah.
Like, I know that we joke that I don't have ADHD, but there are definitely signs. I didn't need to get up once. I needed
there
to
were so many shiny
bit.
Colors passing you on the screen as the Daleks
were. God, there
in.
Were so many pink shower curtains. And Zach, I have a confession. I fucking love pink. And the fact that the Daleks went, let's make a metallic city. Let's make all of our doors rose gold.
Yes, that sounds very elegant. What?
And... Get this. I found a local artist that can make shapes that do and do not look like Dalek. They are interpretive.
Interpretive.
Thank you.
But yeah, that was Doctor Who and the Daleks. There is a sequel that they do with Peter Cushing in it.
Bring it on, baby.
Daleks Invasion Earth 2150 AD. We will definitely have to go to that at some point because I think you like this one. I think you're going to like that one even more. But moreover, we're 100 episodes deep in this podcast.
We are 100 episodes deep.
How are you feeling about this little thing you and I have been doing after 100 episodes?
I think it's really stupid and silly. And honestly, I really love that we have something else to talk about other than one of the cats breathing funny and making me worried.
Yeah, something other than our jobs.
I mean, I bother everybody about my job.
But it's nice to have something other than our jobs to talk about.
Well, the thing of it, too, is like stepping outside of the bit a little bit and mm-hmm. having it be a genuine, sincere moment. I love being in the know now. Because for years and years, anytime I'd go to a convention, anytime I would see anything online about David Tennant, mm-hmm. or Matt Smith, particularly those were the two doctors that were floating around in my bubble.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get it, and I did not understand. And you know, there are still times where I struggle with I truly don't get. And it's the way that I feel about a lot of things when people get really gung ho for something that's just mm-hmm. Does not have earned. Or at least to me, doesn't have that earned fandom.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've been able to see just how expansive this particular world is, because it is not something that was started in 2009. It was started way before that.
Yeah.
And so you have this generational thing that just keeps evolving and keeps getting new and getting different and exciting, and people still get upset about parts of it. And, you know, it's nice that I can sit back and in my little Cassie mental hammock and point and laugh at people for liking things too much. But meanwhile, I also am I have my little collection of things I like from this show. I'll keep those aside. But overall, out of the bit, I understand why people enjoy this. Back in the bit, I think it's stupid. I think it's a stupid, silly waste of time.
And, you know, stepping out of the bit for me, I really like that I knew there was no way I was going to be able to sit down and just binge Doctor Who with you. I knew that it was too big an ask.
No,
it's not something you and I can just watch at dinner.
It's something too that I sincerely don't always like.
Yeah, Well, can I be honest with you? I don't always like it.
Like, I loved this. I loved this. But there are times where we have put on...
Like last episode.
Oh, don't even get me started. But there are even times where we are watching the modern series.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, I don't like that we're just in another fucking spaceship. I don't like that we're just... You know, on a far off satellite and we're just running through halls and we're always constantly fucking running. Like, there are certain times, but when it hits, it hits.
Yeah, I
don't like having to, you know, wait for the good ones, but, you know.
Yeah, I got to say that Doctor Who is my favorite show, and even I will acknowledge that it is not perfect. And I think anyone who really loves Doctor Who knows that it isn't, but there's a feeling
really loves Doctor Who and also isn't crazy.
Yeah. There's a feeling that Doctor Who gives people that I don't think anything else does. And that's just because it's very difficult to replicate this kind of show. It's such a big idea with such a weird main character, across all iterations, almost like basically all of his iterations are somewhat weird. Even the fifth Doctor that isn't weird is weird because he isn't weird in that group. You know, I knew there was no way I could just sit down and show it to you. And even then, part of what I thought would be fun would be talking to you about it.
Yeah,
because I know not all of it is good, because I know that, you know, it has its weak points, but it also has its really big highlights, and it also has stuff in it that's like so dated even now. Like, even like they put K-9 in an episode in the mid 2000s.
Yeah,
that's some 70s shit that they just dropped in an episode in 2006.
Did. Yes, they did do that. Especially when you consider that at that point you have people that grew up watching Jimmy Neutron, and you have Goddard, who's a cool, has a little moving brain and limbs that can make... K-9 doesn't have any of that.
K-9 box.
K-9 box with little satellite.
Yeah, and they fully embrace, like, the 60s cheese of the Daleks.
If they ever do anything to change Dalek,
they would never will, because, like, just that one change from that World War II episode, you remember the one I'm talking about?
Would you care for some tea?
Where they turn them into like the big Kia Soul Daleks.
Oh, I like those because it reminds me of my car.
Yeah.
Even these ones kind of remind me of it.
But what I mean by that is, like, even that was too much of a change for most Doctor Who fans. And so they will never, ever change the design of the Daleks as far as I'm concerned. But it was very, like I said, there's just not another show like it.
They make Dalek hot.
And I knew that it would be too big an ask to do it any other way than a podcast. But I do really like that I have found that you and I have this way where I can share one of my favorite things with you in a way in this thing that has become one of my new favorite things to do, because I do it with you.
Well, that, and also you spend an ungodly amount of time
in the editing
on it and in the editing hole. And, you know, I get to just kind of show up and
come up with that idea sometimes and.
Yeah, even that is rare.
But you know, what I love about this more than anything is spending time with you, and I'm glad we get to do this because I love you.
Aww.
Yeah, I'm glad we got to do this. I am looking forward to us going back to the main show, because we do still have a couple of things to hit before we get properly to the 50th anniversary. There's still the 25th anniversary of the show. It was not a multi-doctor story. And that will be what we look at next with more Daleks. It is Remembrance of the Daleks.
Good.
Yeah. The 25th anniversary is maybe less a celebration of the Doctor and more a celebration of the Daleks.
Woohoo! Oh, man.
And so we will see more about that on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
Did you not want to play in the space?
And that's 100 episodes done.
Zachary!
Cassie, where'd you get that gun? Oh my God. I genuinely can't believe that we got to 100 episodes of this podcast. That's wild to me. I'm genuinely kind of shocked this happened. I've been making content online since like 2010, and I've had a lot of false starts. And so this getting this far is a big deal for me personally. It's also been a real joy that I can bring this to you guys so consistently. I have felt very fulfilled personally and creatively by it. And thank you all for letting me do this. I hope you all have enjoyed it even just half as much as I have. I will say that getting this far has made me curious how exactly you guys found us, how you found the podcast. I mean, so if you're able, please come over to us on Blue Sky, Twitter, or Threads and let me know how you stumbled onto the podcast, because I'm genuinely very curious. I know that a lot of people found us through other podcasts, but I'm sure people have found us on social media. Some people found us just by searching us. I'm just curious. I don't get a lot of the metric data from podcasts that I did from like YouTube. So I'm just curious. So you can find us on all those platforms at WIMDPod. That's WIMDPOD. Anyway, we are still in the run up to the 50th anniversary, so there's plenty more in store. Be sure you're subscribed if you're not already, or find us on Patreon if you'd like to support us directly. Special thanks, as always, to our Big Daddy Dalek patrons, Andrew Blewett, David Gansel, Travis Aiken, and Daniel Lindgren. We'll see you next Tuesday, because even after 100 episodes, your Tuesdays are still Whose Days.